Okay. I am calling the meeting to order. This is a teleconference of the special meeting of the Black Point Beach Club Association, May 14th, 2020. This meeting is being recorded live. It has been posted via the association website and emails. Both the recording and the minutes of this meeting will be posted on our association website. That would be blackpointbeachclub.com.
Joan Hayes.
Comments to the board from the membership have been received via email. They will be part of the communications record. And I'm going to ask the board members to identify themselves each time they speak so that the membership will know who's speaking, even though I'll probably recognize your name. All right, let's start with attendance. Brooke, I know you're here. Al, I know you're here. Jim is here. Ruth Ames, are you here?
You've fallen out of these chairs twice this year already.
Okay. Will Fountain is here. Rick Deschenko is here. Phil Lombardo is here. Mike Johnson is here. Steve O'Shane, are you here?
I am here. I just checked in.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Bill, are you here?
I'm here.
Wonderful. We have a full house. So it looks like Luke is the only person that has not been able to attend so far. All right, let's see. So that the board can work more effectively over time because things are changing week by week, day by day, this meeting is intended to be relatively brief. I'd like to think about it ending in about an hour. The board will determine that based on discussion. And this will be one of a series of weekly meetings that we will post as we go along. So keep your eyes out, and sometimes we'll have them, sometimes we won't, depending on how fast things are changing and what decisions need to be made. So,
the Murrays.
The first topic on the agenda is procedures for safety on beaches and association property related to the coronavirus. The executive orders, the Connecticut executive orders set out in the past few months expire on May 20th. We don't know what modifications will be made. The discussions we have now will reflect what we know to be in place now, with the understanding that policies and procedures will change, as will the board's responses to them. I'd like to give a brief summary of relevant feedback from the emails that we got. There were several requests for us to use Zoom for teleconferencing. There were many questions about enforcement. Who would be the enforcers? Would we have guards? How old would the guards be? Is there going to be a limit to people on the beach? And there was a range of opinions on whether, how much enforcement, if any, is needed to assure that people can be safe and rules are followed. There were requests for continuing vigilance and attention to expert advice in terms of safety procedures. There are a couple of questions about continuing or suggestions, continuing communication. Can we send things out through snail mail? Some people suggested and indeed volunteered for helping distribute flyers on a regular basis so everybody, every home would get one. And incidentally, we got thank you everybody for sending your email addresses in so that we can get to you through a web blast. There was a great response to that. And please continue, if we don't have your email address, send it to B is in boy, O, G is in governor, at blackpointbeachclub.com. There are a few questions about if and when the tennis courts would be open. Some people asked about if masks would be required when people are in the water. There are several questions on rentals related to the executive order that rentals were not to be done for less than 30 days unless the person involved was an essential worker. And we're looking into whether that has anything to do with Black Point's responsibility or if that is a town responsibility, town of East LM responsibility. So comment about the large inflatable rafts that hold many people that are usually in the swim area. And finally, Colleen Chapin researched via program to get an estimate on how many people can share the beach given 6 feet of separation. Obviously, it's not a written in stone thing since families aren't going to be needing to be 6 feet apart. But anyway, she gave us an estimate using a program, and that estimate may be referred to, but it will certainly be posted with the minutes. Okay, enough for my announcements. There's been interest in the board to review what we covered last week. It was about a 3.5-hour meeting, and I think we wanted to kind of see with a fresh eye. So as of the last meeting, and this is the last I'm going to talk, and then I'll open it up. As of the last meeting, these are the motions that the board passed. There will be signs at the beaches. The procedures listed on the signs will be people must observe social distancing by being 6 feet apart unless they are with members of their, I believe we put household. Face masks must be worn unless one is more than 6 feet apart from others or with household members. 10 people maximum per group sitting together on the beach or standing together on the beach. If you are sick, do not come to the beach, and there are no saving spaces on the beach. That was a series of motions related to signage. Other motions that were passed were a beach pass will be required, one per household that can be shared by household members. The parking regulations will stay the same, and the bocce and shuffleboard will be closed. So that's all I have to say. I know people wanted to revisit those, so since there were specific people involved, why don't I ask you to volunteer to speak, and then we can go through a list where everybody can weigh in. So I know that you had originally requested to take a look at that, and there was a follow-up with other people that wanted to review. So do you want to get the ball rolling on this?
Who are you asking me?
There, several people asked to review the motions that we passed, I think specifically regarding the signage.
So, Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yeah.
When I looked at the motions, I think you just said them pretty clearly, but the way they're written in the minutes is a little confusing. So what I'd like to do is just to make sure we're all on the same page. Suggest that, you know, a series of words that would go on the sign, because we made a bunch of motions, but we never really said here's what the sign's going to look like.
Okay.
I would like to suggest that the sign read as follows: COVID-19 beach rules. One, beach passes are required. Two, keep a social distance of 6 feet when not in a group. Groups must be no greater than 5. We said 10, but I think we've determined since then that the governor says 5. Face masks must be worn within 6 feet of others, but not when in a family group. And saving beach space is not allowed. If sick, stay home. That's what I'd like the sign to say, and I think that's kind of summarizes what we said. We didn't say, we talked about the beach passes, but we didn't say they should be on the sign. But I think it should be. I think it'll be a deterrent if people see the sign, you know, the beach pass on the sign, they've been less likely to come if they're not a member or a guest.
So that sounds so like a motion in the making.
So I'd like to make a motion that sign reads as I just stated.
Brooke, do you have that down?
I have it.
Great. Did someone want to second that motion?
I'll second it, Steve.
Will is seconding it. Discussion? I have a question, Phil. Go ahead. Rick?
This is Rick. I went around to various different beaches to look at their postings. I saw the postings over at Old Saybrook. Old Saybrook sign says, stay home if sick, avoid close contact, call doctor if you have symptoms, clean surfaces, wash hands, cover coughs and sneezes. And on the top of the sign, it's basically safety warning is what they have there. Went to Rocky Neck. Rocky Neck only has a couple things on their sign. Keep Connecticut State beaches safe. Keep social distance 6 feet. Stay in small family groups only. And they also have reduced parking. All these signs, I have forward pictures on to the board. If you want to look at some of the emails, they're sitting over there. Also went to Point of Woods for various signs they had there. They didn't have any for the beaches that I could see, but they have one residence only. They have one no rentals for less than 31 days based on the executive order of the governor, and no parking without a valid sticker. I also went to the East Line Park and Rec Department. I was unable to contact the person directly about a signage for the beaches, but I was able to get a copy, which I forwarded again through email to the rest of the board, of what they have in the Park and Rec Department as far as getting a pass, which is social distancing, group size of 5, passes required, residents only. I also went to Pleasure Beach, and in Pleasure Beach was mostly a boat dock, but they had restricted parking, 6-foot distancing, boats for household members only, quick loading and unloading, and I think a similar approach could be used at our boat dock. But anyways, I just wanted to give you a sort of a synopsis of what the areas have. According to what Phil gave us, I think that we have most of those issues that other people have put in there into our sign. The only thing, and I withdrew it last week, has to do with the people's responsibility, and it's on a lot of different sides. It's their responsibility to wash their hands and disinfect surfaces on their beach items. And the reason I say that is just a little bit of science.
Rick, I'm sorry. That's something we already discussed, and we're trying to be as efficient as possible. So can you just bring your new information? Thank you for what you've brought, and if you want to continue. Okay. But I think that
one of the things I would like to amend and just add something on there about washing hands and disinfect surfaces. I have sent a copy of a possible sign you could post. I think everybody on the board has a copy of that. They could take a look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question, Phil.
Yes.
How do we discriminate? It's not a dilemma. It's just a matter of defining. So there's kind of two types of groups. There's a group that's a household or family group that can sit as close as they want. And then there are going to be other groups of people that are socially distancing, but in a group. do we need to, I mean, there are two different interpretations of the word group, so we do we need to clarify on that sign. When you said something about a group in terms of, I forget, do you remember what it was, or do you have it written down?
There were some exceptions
if you're in a group, and I think there's a difference between family groups and groups of friends.
Yeah, I think my sign would say groups must be no greater than five, with no mention of who they are or what they are, because I don't think there's any constraints on groups of five, according to the
government.
There
are constraints on groups of five in terms of social distancing, unless you're a household member.
Yeah, okay, I don't know that.
I do.
Okay.
So do we need to define that on the, you know, do we need to clarify there's a difference between sitting in a group with your friends? If you're sitting in a group with your friends, you still must social distance or wear a mask. If you're sitting with the family, it's up to you what you do. So how can we clarify that within your wording?
Hey, Cheryl, it's Steve.
Yeah.
I think we may want to put what is required and what is recommended. My belief is the state has recommended, and their guidance is no more than five people are prohibited. And face mask. I think we can put our requirements, the beach pass, and the things we want to require, but then another section would maybe be the recommendations. I know the gatherings are prohibited for more than five people, but the other things tend to be suggestions. You may want to look at the Connecticut guidance is changing all the time, and I think we may want to stay aware of what they're recommending as far as what is required and what is recommended.
Okay. All right, so we have two amendments. We can vote on the motion and then pick up on these amendments. But I still, Phil, since you were the one that reworded it, I'm wondering if we need to clarify so people understand that it's different to be in a group, a social group, as opposed to a household group.
Well, okay, but did I hear Steve say?
The original executive order didn't consider household. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who is this?
Well, this is Phil Lombardo. I thought I just heard Steve say that that the mass on groups of five less of five is recommended but not required. Is that correct? Is that what you said, Steve?
No, Phil. That part is actually prohibitive. This says gatherings, all social and recreational gatherings of more than five people are prohibited. Religious, spiritual, and worship gatherings of more than 50 people are prohibited. This remains in effect until May 20th. But again, that's going to change on the 20th.
Mm-hmm. Right. But my question is, my question is, does it say that if you have a group of five, that they must be wearing masks?
There are two.
It says that social gatherings of more than five are prohibited. That's until May 20th. As far as when in public and a 6-foot distance is unavoidable, face masks or face coverings are required to be worn, if that helps.
The social group of five was referring to any activities in any public places. They weren't talking about if you're five, you can be as close as you want, but there can be no more than five, so it was a separate issue from the social distancing. So again, how do we want to state it, or is it misleading if we say, hey, if there's five people, you can do whatever you want? That's not accurate according to the executive order.
It doesn't. it doesn't actually say that, but it doesn't not say it either. So
they're two separate issues. They're said in two separate places. So if
I'm talking about my words.
Pardon me?
No, I'm sure. I'm just saying the words that I wrote are not clear. I don't think. So it says groups must be no greater than five. Okay. And then it says face masks must be worn within 6 feet of others, but not in a family group. So I suppose if the group is not a family group, it could be interpreted that they have to have masks.
That was my point. They're two separate issues. If you're in a family, you don't wear masks. And under any circumstances, you can't have more than five people gathering for an event or in any public place. So
right.
I just thought needed to clarify that you don't need to socially distance or wear a mask if you are in your household or family.
So I think what I would do is I would take my third thing that says groups must be no greater than five, and then add to it, and must be wearing masks. And then the next one says face masks must be worn within 6 feet of others, but not when in a family group. So that would say if you're in a family group, you don't have to wear a mask, I guess. Does that make sense?
This is Rick. No. Because all the other signs by other entities, such as the park and rec, currently the maximum group size level in parks is five patrons. They don't say anything about face masks. And on the Rocky Neck sign, they don't say anything about face masks.
Okay.
And I believe in the way the order is the way that Mr. Beauchesne read it, I don't believe that there's anything there about face masks within a group. I think we're overthinking this.
We're not overthinking it. It's two separate statements. I would hate to have to spend more time on this, and I would hate to have to call our lawyer to clarify it. It's two separate issues. One is groups of five in social situations and in the public, and one is face masks within 6 feet of anybody except people in your household. I think we've heard what other places are doing, and we've spent almost 25 minutes on this one motion. So I'm wondering if there's something we can do to expedite this and still make it clear to people how we're expected to follow an executive order.
Do you know which executive order this is, Cheryl?
Pardon me?
Do you know the executive order number?
I do not. Now, what we can do is postpone this till next week and get these questions answered if you would prefer. Because it looks like we're kind of at a standstill in terms of the information and resources that we have.
Hey, Cheryl, it's Steve. The next meeting is going to be the 24th. These regulations are in effect until May 20th. So things probably will change. They don't say anything about face coverings except for family members or household members. So I would think we may want to wait a week and see what the new recommendations are and base our policy on that.
Phil, do you want to postpone your motion?
I would love to postpone my motion.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yes.
Okay. And the 5 foot, the 5 people in a group also may change. All right, so we'll postpone that motion and revisit it when we get the information. And knowing these questions, if it's not blatantly clear in the new executive order, I can check with our attorney. So thank you all for your patience with that. And Rick, thank you for all your research. Here are the other motions that we passed, if anybody wants to review them. Beach pass required one per household to be used by anybody. And that's not what's going to be written, but a beach pass is required to be on the beach. parking regulations will stay the same, and bocce and shuffleboard will be closed until further notice, as in all recreation things. So those are the other three motions. Does anybody want to revisit those?
Sure. Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
I just have a question. Have we started getting the beach passes made?
We have not, but I will do that this week unless you have some input for that.
No, I have no input. I just, if we decided to do it, let's do it.
Okay. For every decision we make, there's like 10 other things that impinge. So I was kind of waiting a while to see if we'd have enough information to send out an annual letter, and I'd get those sent out at the same time. But I will go ahead and get those made. Thank you. There are other things that we discussed last week, which I will review, and I believe Mike, Will, and Jim have some information they gathered about taking care of the beach that might impact, they might want some board input. What we discussed last week but did not vote upon were the Nehantic and South Beach boat ramps, whether they will be available for boats or just leave the big one at Sea View available. Will we be putting out swim rafts? We did decide we wanted to put out swim lines, and the buoys have to go out. And will there be sitting on piers? So those were bandied about. We did not make a decision. There was another suggestion that was bandied about this week that we could talk about if people want to wait or not, or just to think about. Even if we don't make a decision today, we may come up with questions that we need to think about to make a decision, and then next week we'll also know about new executive orders. So someone said, how about making right-of-ways available for people to sit on for extended periods of time to keep the beach from getting crowded, and are we going to have an ice cream truck? So there you go. It's open to whoever would like to comment or open another discussion.
This is Mike Johnson.
Okay, Mike.
Will and Jim and I continue to get the stuff for the geese lines and the swim buoys ready to go in. We're going to repair the gangway for the ramp at South Beach. I don't know if any decisions have been made to put the two floats in. But we'll continue with that. We're going to be working on the moving some sand around at a few of the beaches, the main beaches. Got a big washout. Also working on putting the railing in at the Nehantic or the main beach walkway. That should be being worked on, I think, within the next week or so. Jim knows more about that. That's all I have for now.
Thank you. Some of these, as Jim mentioned last week, we don't need to make a decision anytime soon until people are really getting into the water, in June, in terms of, we know the boat restriction buoys must go in. We need to think about, but certainly not decide today, whether when we're going to put geese line in, whether we're going to put the swimming rafts out. Apparently Mike Niebelung is pretty flexible with the timeline on that. Does anybody want to engage in any conversation about that, or wait until it's closer to the time that we would need to make arrangements?
Rachel. I'm thinking about my niece, Cheryl.
Yeah.
She'll go it out. swim raft. Didn't we decide not to put the swim rafts out? I'm sorry.
I believe we discussed it, but we did not actually vote on it.
Hey, Cheryl, I'd like to make a motion to not put the rafts out this year.
Not put the rafts out?
It's just too tight. It's a 10 by 10 or 8 by 8.
So your motion is to not put the swim rafts out.
It doesn't have anything to do with the floating docks, but the swim rafts I would say no to.
The swim rafts, like at the end of each of the piers, that, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Does anybody want to second that?
Yes, Phil Lombardo, second.
All right, discussion. All right, let's take a vote. Let me just run down names. Okay, Steve?
I say no to the rafts.
Will?
I say no.
Say yes to your motion that we will not put rafts on.
Yes.
Steve is a yes. Will?
Yeah.
Will says no rafts.
Wait a minute, was that? Will is Will. Yes. Rick?
Raft.
Could you reread the motion, please? I'm getting a lot of static here.
Brooke, would you read us the motion, please?
Steve motioned not to put the swim rafts out this year, and Phil seconded it.
Yes.
And Will, I wasn't sure because there was a little static.
No rafts.
Will Fountain?
Will does
Correct.
Not.
Okay. So you're voting yes for no rafts. Bill?
Yes.
Okay, Phil, you second it. Yes. Mike?
Yes.
Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thank you, Steve and Phil. There's, in the interest of making these meetings short and sweet and effective, there's no need to get into a lot of discussion about decisions we don't have to make right away. I think the biggest issues were signage and security, but under this section, before we get to security, are there any other decisions that anyone wants to bring up that may require some forethought so that when we find out actually what the parameters are, we will have our questions answered?
Later. Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
Do on the boat floats,
Yes.
When does Jim have to know? Does he have to do anything special? When does he have to know if we're going to put him in or out?
Jim, can you
Phil,
answer that?
Yeah, this is Jim Moffitt. Phil, I have a plan to put him in Monday, Tuesday, the boat docks, because I believe that I thought you guys made a motion on the 23rd to allow the boat docks in, but those are the only thing that's planned, and I have those going in like Monday or Tuesday.
I thought we agreed on that too, Jim.
Did we agree on all three of them or just the main one?
We agreed at the end of the I thought we agreed to put the boat docks in the Seaview boat launch.
I remember voting on the Sea Breeze big boat dock. I'm going to go
There's
back
not
and
a
check
big boat
unless
dock
someone...
on Sea Breeze.
Well, yeah. I'd like to. Cheryl?
Yes?
Cheryl? Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we leave the boat floats in.
All three of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Second?
I second it. It's Rick.
I would second it, but Cheryl, I think if it's not a change of normal policy, we don't need to vote it in. I think we
Correct.
Just do
I
it.
Think we, I think we said that last time, but obviously that's not true because we're still talking about it. So that's why I made the motion. Get it over.
You just want it on the okay, I don't think we need to have it on the motion, but perhaps we can have Brooke put it that it was discussed. So if we didn't pass the motion, we don't have to say it was motion, but if it's included that we discussed it, we don't need to vote on anything if we're not changing it.
Fine with me.
Well, let's do it. We're good.
Okay. Now, that said, we may need to consider in the future how we're going to supervise those so that they don't become swim rafts and not be used for social distancing. But we can put that away until if and when it becomes an issue. Is there anything else people want to discuss in terms of beach and grounds?
That's it. Okay. Cheryl, this is Mike.
Yeah, Mike?
I would just check with Jim first and see if the vendor that puts in the boat ramps or floats, whatever they are, if he does anything else so we can coordinate that he does all his work at one time and not come back a few times to do what he has to do because we haven't decided what we want to do.
Good point. So
Jim may know better.
Yeah, this is Jim. Cheryl and Mike, Mike Niblong is the one who puts in the boat docks. Okay, he does coordinate it when we put in the swim wraps, but we're not putting in the swim wraps. So I'm only dealing with Mike on the boat dock. So he's very flexible with us, and I'll work closely with him. I do have another question, if I may ask, that I need some input on.
Hang on just a second. Can I ask you one quick, Jim? To finish up your first thought, how about swim lines?
The geese lines?
Yeah,
the swim lines and geese lines are done. The swim lines and geese lines are planning to go in when we still put in the 10 swim buoys that go across the shoreline.
Okay. That's okay with everybody, right?
And I've been in contact with that vendor in understanding that it's up in the air on when we're putting these in, and he understands that, and he's also flexible.
I think the question was, is it going to be more costly to do those on two separate occasions?
I don't think so. No.
Could you confirm that before we have one of them done, since we may have budget constraints this year? If it's going to be a big hit, let's do it twice. We should probably work out doing them all at once if we decide to put in the lines.
They
as long as we don't decide not to put in
the lines. That's what I'm saying. They are two separate items. They're two separate items with two separate vendors.
I see. Okay, thank you, Jim. I misunderstood. Okay, now your second point, Jim?
My second question regarding the grounds. I understand that the clay tennis courts are locked. The hard courts are locked. No one's playing on them. But we have a contract with the clay courts, Putnam Tennis. And next week is our scheduled to be the grounds to be refurbished. Put the lines down, refurbish the red clay, put the nets up, but still keep it locked. No one can still use it. My question to the board is, do you want me to continue with that contract? It's a contract we already paid for half of it last fall. That's where we stand. But it's locked. It's staying locked.
So the question is, do we want to make a decision to have the clay courts serviced before we know? I mean, I can't imagine they'll be closed all summer.
It's serviced as scheduled, which is next week.
Okay, let's hear from the board, please. Does anybody have any concerns or comments? Oh, I take that as no concerns or comments, and we should have that work done on the clay court.
Okay, and it'll still stay locked and not usable.
Well, right now the
issue
is whether
until you change.
Right now, all of our rec facilities are locked until May 20th.
Right. Right. Yes. So okay.
Okay.
Just so the board knows that.
I just wanted to make sure that you know, since everything's iffy, that decision when to start making things happen and costs and stuff. So thank you for bringing that up. We will go ahead.
Yeah.
And get the courts.
I just didn't want you to see the courts being fixed and thinking that they're being fixed to be immediately starting to play. They're just being fixed so that when we are ready to open, they'll be ready to open.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
All right. I guess we will move on to security. There were many emails from people with a whole range of concerns. Some that we don't need any extra help, some that we need older people or more people, or I guess it's basically if we have security, who's going to do it? We know that Jim and his staff will be available either way. When are they going to do it? Is this going to be a daytime on the beach? Is this just going to be an evening thing? And where are they going to do it? Are they are we going to have more parking places to do? Are we going to have more vigilance at, you know, we have four beaches and 2 to 3 people. So those are all questions that we may want to look at. The reason I feel kind of pressed to get some kind of decisions or concrete thoughts on this is that in security services in general, I don't know about the police, but the places are getting booked a lot because there's a lot more need for security just in general at hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just share a conversation I had a half hour ago. And I want to thank Mike for all the attempts he made trying to get a hold of Ace. John Williams just called me back. I had called him and asked him to get in touch with Mike, but I think because I had spoken to him 6 weeks ago, that was the number that he had, so he called me a half hour ago. So just share some information from him. Let me get that page. There we go. Okay. He said he gave us an estimate. He said he couldn't give us exactly, but if he were to do weekends for 6 hours a day, or if he were to do 4 hours at night on Fridays and Saturdays, the rate would probably be in the high 30s per hour. It would be higher on Friday and Saturday nights if it required a car for patrolling. mostly what he shared were concerns not for his business, but for things that he suggested we do based on his experience with many shoreline towns and beaches. But he said his ability, if we have a contract, it would be predicated on his availability. He's usually booked in February. All the beaches that he usually uses have already booked him, so he was feeling pressed but committed because he had an association with us in the past. he said that the contract, they're well covered for liability, and that his contacts with insurance companies are concerned in general that this will be a litigious time. So he suggested that might be an advantage to having a security agency. Let's see. He had mostly suggestions. Once he said, look, if you want a contract, please get to me as soon as you can. Right now we're getting booked in places we've never been booked, like hospitals, things like that. So that was a sense of urgency for us. The other things that we talked about, he was basically giving suggestions. I didn't ask him, but he's clearly very involved with all the local beaches. He said he's got a very close relationship with police departments, and considering the stressors on police departments this summer, assisting, not in terms of us hiring police, but if we were just to call the police for COVID-related support, it's not likely to happen. They have a lot more important things to do and a lot more issues to deal with this summer, in addition to what they normally have to deal with in summertime at the beach. He suggested that we establish a system for infractions that would include, one, a warning, the second time, a write-up, and the third time, engaging the police. So that would be three things, and he didn't say what infraction, but he said basically, you know, decide what things that are really important to be enforced. He said having this kind of activity will also protect us from civil liability. I did hear from at least one person that they might hold us responsible if they get sick at the beach. That's not really what this is all about, but he just threw in civil liability. So that said, can we talk about what we might want for security? Could change next week, but the longer we wait, regardless who we're going to ask to help us, more difficult it will be. Do we want security on the beaches? Do we want them in the parking lots? Another couple of issues came up in conversation at the meeting with no decisions. Do we want to look at towing? Do we want to not warn people that aren't here, but just tag them, just ticket them? So that's all I got to say. Sorry for taking so long. Let me open that up and see if we can get any kind of conclusions about what we want to do about security.
Hello, this is Rick. You're talking a lot about security for rules. We don't even know what they are yet. I think until we get the rules and know why we would need security, we already know that our attendance will probably be down at the beach this year because of the 30-day rental rule by the governor. The possibility of what happens to a club, the lack of facilities for people to use may mean, since they're closed, may mean they'll stay home or go elsewhere. There's a lot of things here, and we don't even know what the rules are going to be on the beach yet. So I think you're a little premature. And I know that they have a lot of other people asking them to do that. I think the Eastland Police Department does a fine job. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else? Okay, is it safe to assume the discussion? Yes.
Sure. Bill Lombardo.
Okay.
We got two things going here, and I think it's confusing when we've got one. We've always had weekend patrols at night, right? From the police department.
If we choose, yes.
But we have, you know, that's where that. And then we've always had a beach patrol to handle beach issues. So I think we should decide then if we are forgetting about who does it. Do we still want weekend security in the evening? We should be able to decide that. And then I think we've been doing it for, I think the police come for what, 2 hours or four hours?
4 hours Friday and Saturday nights.
Right. And then ACE has a minimum of 6 hours. Is that correct?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
He said he would work with us despite their previous. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's two things. So I think I don't see any reason why we would change our behavior and that we continue to have police or security here on the weekends in the evening. And I don't think we're going to stop having a beach patrol during the day at the beach. So I think Rick is right that we have no idea if the beach patrol is going to be able to handle whatever it is that's going to happen. It's too early to say, but I mentioned last week, and I still think it's true. I think we're going to need more beach patrol security because we only have, I think, three, and that's just given the social distancing and all that. My guess is that we're going to need more than Jim. Am I right about the three?
That's correct, Phil.
Have you
three
thought about
weekends,
whether you
two on weekdays?
That's correct too. Yes.
So, Jim, have you thought about whether you're going to need just any more than three?
Yeah, I was planning on it based on our conversations last time, and I was going to beef it up.
Have you thought about what beef up means? What do you think you're going to need?
Beef up means is more staff on the beach, walking up and down the beach, reminding people to social distance.
Right. So have you thought about what that number might be?
It'll be like one extra a day or two extra a day is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So I guess I go back to what I mentioned last week. I think my guess is, and it's just a guess, that we are going to need more security. I'd like to see us put more money in the security, in the beach patrol security bucket, just in case we need it. I think Rick is right. We have no idea, but I think we should at least be thinking about that. I don't know. I think, but I just think we have two different issues. Does anybody else have any thoughts?
Hello, this is Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
On the beach pass thing, are we going to have people checking the passes as they come onto the beach? And if that's going to happen, how many people are you going to need at the entrances to the beaches? Or is somebody just going to go walk up and down the beach checking for passes?
This is Jim.
Anybody want to weigh in on that? I got a sense from our discussion it was more like a security backup kind of thing, but we never really addressed it in detail. So if anybody wants to toss in on that, go for it.
Okay, Dave. Cheryl, Phil Lombardo. Again, the answer is, like Greg said, we don't know. But I would think we would start out with using it as a backup. If we have a problem or an issue or we see something going on, we would ask the person if he had a pass. If all of a sudden some people are fearful that, Rocky Neck gets filled up and, 100 people are going to show up at our beach, and if that happens on a regular basis, then we probably have to stick somebody at the entrance. I think the odds of that are remote, but certainly has to be considered. But I don't think we can guess. I think I would still give Jim at least one, maybe two more guys or girls.
We'll just. Said he believes that there should be someone at each access area. There's six access areas to the beach.
Thank you. All right, so...
Hey, Cheryl.
Go ahead, Steve.
My thought was just if people have a beach pass, they should place them conspicuously in their group, either hanging on an umbrella or someplace where somebody walking by can see it readily, then there wouldn't have to be any conversations and make the security a lot easier.
This is Rick. I agree with both Phil and Steve, and I think that we just continue the police, Eastline Police, as we have them, and add additional security, post them on a chair or an umbrella, and we can go from there.
Okay. So it sounds like we need more beach patrol people, in which case, let's see, we have 2 more weeks before we adopt the budget. So at the risk of sounding premature about all this, by next week we might need to have some more specifics if we're going to need to modify the budget or move monies around. Two other comments.
Yeah,
police security costs $69 an hour, and they are not always available. Private security costs in the high 30s an hour. They have 300 staff. If they do make a commitment, they're there. That's just throw in the hopper when we discuss hiring. And a question for Jim. We have some members of the community, very responsible young men and women who are 18 years of age. Sometimes they have to refer people to you when they ask them to abide by a rule. Sometimes people don't respond to you, not you personally, Jim, but to an adult authority either.
Yep.
With the recognized need for more beach patrol, do we also, in addition to the typical beach patrol we have, do we need anyone with who's older? Do we need anyone who's got more authority or more perceived authority? I guess these are not things we have to answer today, but if we need to get serious about making a plan, if we're going to figure out how to pay for it. So we have things to consider that we can talk about again next week when people have mulled things around. Do we want someone at every access to the beach? Do we want a security agency or a police if we're basing it on price, or what else are we basing it on? That decision.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Yeah, Rick, this is Rick. Jim, didn't we give you approval to get 2 more security people last week? Did you go ahead? I may be mistaken. I thought we talked about this.
I don't think you gave me the approval. I think it was just discussed.
Okay.
The answer
Thank
is
you.
No, we did not give him the approval. We did not vote on it. Phil brought up the whole issue of security and budget, and we said we would have to figure it out in the context of the budget.
Okay, thank you.
So with those thoughts, do we want to just kind of mull over those for a week and maybe have some firm decisions about what folks believe should happen and take some votes next week? Does that sound reasonable, or does anyone want to make another comment?
This is Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Mike.
Just a thought to the personnel and the budget, maybe, and how it's going to work. Is that we're going to need to supply these people with PPE equipment?
Good point. Jim was working on that.
Okay.
And again, we can deal with that. The other thing that I don't know if people were thinking of in terms of regardless of how people who know each other are responding to these restrictions, we also know that we can anticipate possible problems with people coming in and parking, so we may need more people to, now we've got parking lots and we have beaches that need to be attended to, so that might also impact how many people we need. Maybe we can all think about that, you especially, Jim. Look at the parking lots, think about how often they would need to be checked. and beaches, right of ways, et cetera, et cetera. And then maybe we can have a more conclusive conversation next week. Are there any other comments regarding security? All right. The last thing I had, we have on the agenda is Jim put together a cleanup plan, did a lot of work organizing it, making materials, providing the energy, and since it's happening this Saturday, and there were some postings, I'd just like Jim to make a few comments on how social distancing during this activity, his plan, so that people that are listening know now, and I may be able to post the specifics so people don't think it's just kind of everybody's going to get together and work. So, Jim, would you like to elaborate just a little bit more, and then maybe I can post something to the community?
Yeah, sure. This is Jim. What I kind of have in mind is this beach cleanup, clubhouse cleanup on Saturday, this Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. And I have these, like, task cards. I have, like, 25 task cards, and each card has a picture and a little to-do list for that picture. And it's just a small little project to do, raking up a certain area of, let's say, the area in front of the Whitecap parking lot. And the person, they drive up at 9 a.m. They don't even have to get out of their car. I can just give them the task. They can go do it. And then they can get out of their car in front of the clubhouse, or, I mean, we can socially distance, but I can have a little coffee out there. If you want to get your own cup of coffee, go do your task. And that's kind of what I have in mind. And I think that might work.
Thank you so much, Jim. Does anybody have any questions for Jim?
Okay, are we going to recover any beach sand that is piled up against the various seawalls?
That's recommended. Huh? Go for it, Jim, or whoever is speaking.
Is that question to me?
From the moon.
It's to the board.
Well, I think Will, Jim, and Mike discussed this. And it was pretty clear that we need to recover the beach. I guess the question was when, since some of it was being washed away even after it was pushed out. There's still a lot of sand, for those of you who don't know, there's still too much sand against the walls, which it's on top of the stairs going down to the beaches, and that sand would extend the size of our beach were it pushed back onto the beach. So my impression from the three of you is, yes, it should happen. The question is, should it happen right away, or should we wait until the water, with the crazy weather, settles down, since I saw a big chunk of the beach washed away just the other day? So the three of you, what do you suggest?
Yeah, this is Jim. Those are my sentiments exactly. I just want to make sure the spring weather calms down and we get into a more stable, you know, summer pattern. And then, I mean, it was going to be before Memorial Day. It was just, I'm working closely with Mike, and it's eventually going to happen, but not like immediately. It's just going to give it a little time to make sure the storms are done.
Thank you, Jim. Cheryl? And Mike, to you.
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
Do we have a cost for moving all the sand around?
Jim?
Yes.
In our budget.
Yeah, I have a... Pardon? We just got a bill last week for moving the sand, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I can send that to you, or you want me to give
you
the number now?
No, Jim. No, I don't care about what happened last week. It's my understanding you guys want to move some sand around, and I'm wondering how much we're going to get charged. I don't have any idea how much sand you're talking about. I'm wondering if we've gotten an estimate on how much it would cost to move the sand around.
We haven't. We haven't got an estimate on that.
Jim, we have hired someone who's got vast experience with us. So
I,
if the job was not done in a satisfactory way, I think we should be doing some negotiation about the price on repairing the inadequate job.
Hello? I'm sorry, what is it? What did you just say?
I said, in short, I think he should fix it and not charge us. It's not like he doesn't know how our beach works.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. But if there's going to be a cost, I think we should know what it is.
Agreed.
Yep. Here's Mike. Yep. I will pass that along.
Yes,
this is Mike.
Let us know as soon as you find out, Jim.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Is it Mike?
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, we walked all the beaches the other day, a couple of days ago. I think there's going to have to be some work done on the main beach where there's a big shelf that washed out. And Jim is right. He's going to wait until the weather's right. But most of the other beaches have a lot of sand built up on them. It's not something that has to be done maybe this year or something, but something accomplished, you know, maybe next season or do part of it this year. We don't expect, and we're not asking to have all the beaches done, but we're just walking the beaches and how much sand is washed up to the seawalls and those other spaces and along the Jersey barriers and along the piers that stuff should be pulled away and pushed out into the beach instead of way up against the seawalls. Not all the beaches, but some.
Oh, sorry. Why shouldn't that happen? Doesn't that get done annually?
Jim.
Let Mike either answer or defer, and then I'll get to you, Jim, please.
Well, I think what happened was he comes in, and as the beaches, sand is piled up, and he pushes back as best he can, and I don't know how much direction he gets, and I think these other things, you come in and do the job so it looks good, and you don't want to charge your customer a lot of money, and sort of, I don't know, there's just a lot of sand that's built up that maybe we could have moved back, and that was a big concern of us when we were down there looking at them, that it's going to be some money, so it may not all get done in one season, but the main beach, something's going to have to be done on that where there's that big, it's like a big cave in where the seaweed was or something, and all that washed away, and there's a big step in the middle of the beach. Maybe if we just get a cost estimate on that, and then, you know,
okay,
we could
Jim,
talk about him.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Phil Lombardo.
Wait a second, Phil. Jim had something to say.
Yeah, this is Jim. What I was thinking about is that one of the concerns was the Seaview Boat Beach. That sand needs to be pushed back a little bit. He never pushes that sand up during the off season, so that was never part of the contract for him to do that. We may be asking him to take his Bobcat and come down here and move that sand out. I would anticipate that he would, you know, give us a cost for that. That wouldn't be something that he usually does.
Yeah,
so that's what
that
I.
That sounds reasonable. My question
that's
again. Just let me ask Jim a question and then I'm going to get to you. My question again, and for Jim and Mike, not on that Seaview Beach, which is a different, whole different item, but should we not expect, or did we just ask him to do it too early this season, that if he's moving the sand back, he moves the sand back the same every year? You know, it gets piled up by his machines. So is it unreasonable to ask him to bring it back down to the same level? I'm concerned about paying him to do that. I'm not concerned about paying him to do something.
I think he'll do it without charging us.
Okay, good. It's Phil Lombardo. He's not the guy to push the sand up last year, right?
Right. He didn't do that.
So we're, you know, we're complaining about the guy who didn't do the work. The guys who did the pier pushed the sandbag. If they didn't do it right, that's another issue, but it's not his fault.
Did they not do it right, or was it any
No, they did it right. No, they did it right.
I have no idea.
They did it right.
I'm just
right.
saying it's
Cheryl.
It was the guys who did the pier.
Yes, please.
When Rugg pushed the sand up, he wanted to go right down to the gravel on the beach and bring the sand up. So at the waterline, it's much lower than it was in years past.
Okay.
They had some very heavy equipment, and they moved the sand up. And now that sand is accumulated on the land side, and it needs to be spread out to the water side. I think if we do that, you're not going to see much of a difference. But the variable was Pinder's doing the pushback.
Okay, thank you.
In the
that clears up things. Okay. So in that case, we should not be holding Mike responsible for not getting it all back because it was so much more work. Not the work that what Pinder did made it a much bigger job. Is that what you're saying?
It is a bigger job than it was last spring. I think if Mike wants to charge us more, you know, reasonable amount, he should. But it's much more sand that they pushed up to the wall this year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Will had... Will has a comment. Other than the main beach, the sand has accumulated over the years on the other beaches. Accumulated
so
up the wall.
Should it be accumulating, or is that because it's just not all returned every spring?
Mother Nature.
Oh, it's Mother Nature. But it's got to be pulled down.
I only heard the end. I didn't hear the beginning.
It's Mother Nature. But yet it's got to be pulled down.
Okay. All right. It sounds like it needs to be done. Jim, can I leave you and Will and Mike to figure out the process?
Yes.
Whether it should be done right away or wait, or what are the priorities for this year?
No.
Does anyone have any other comments or questions for Jim and Mike and Will? All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Steve, so moved.
Seconded? Thank you. Will seconded it. Okay. Rick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Please.
Unanimous. Thank you very much, everybody, for your thoughts and your hard work. Let's see if we can get some answers to our questions and organize our thoughts so that we get some closure on these two issues next week.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay,
thank you, Cheryl.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.